Well, this morning we're going to talk about, how we see things right now when school gets started here at the Audubon Community Schools. Eric Traeger, the school superintendent for the Audubon Community School District, with us here this morning. Eric, thanks for your time.
You bet, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Time's been kind of thin, I suppose, these days. You've probably been having a lot of meetings, a lot of discussions, an awful lot of planning.
Yeah, it's been nonstop since March. You know, and I think one of the things we learned that's really kind of interesting is it's actually kind of easy to close schools down. It's a lot harder when you start to reopen, given the circumstances that we have. It's been a real challenge, to say the least.
The way things happened in the spring, so quickly and suddenly like that, and all of a sudden having to scramble to figure out what you're going to do for the rest of the school year, was any of that a help in planning for the start of this school year?
You know, I would say to a degree, yeah, I think it was. You know, our mandate in the spring and was, you know, essentially in the terminology that we used here in Audubon, we just want to keep the rust off. You know, we want to keep kids engaged in learning activities, but we're not providing new learning, and we're not providing, you know, nothing's graded, attendance isn't taken, but we just really strongly encouraged parents to work with us and help keep the rust off. Now, what's significantly different here in the fall is that, you know, school is mandatory, regardless of if it's in person or remote, and so attendance will be taken and new learning will take place, and that really changes things pretty significantly. You know, it's still, if we're remote, it's still online activities, but they're required, and there's going to be, you know, a need for some kind of scheduling and that sort of thing. So it ups our game quite a bit. What we talked about a lot in the spring is we are designed to be in person. Like, our entire system is designed for in-person instruction. And so all we're being asked to do is really completely redesign everything that we do. So the summer has been a blessing to kind of make that happen.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of stakeholders when it comes to local education, and you find out how many, because you need to listen to all those voices to make sure you're making quality decisions coming into a new school year.
Right. Yeah. It's one more thing. I'll give you a couple examples. Just this afternoon, you know, I had a meeting with my vocal and instrumental music instructors and said, now how do we do this safely? And, you know, fortunately they'd been putting a lot of thought and effort into it, and they have a pretty good plan. But, you know, that's something that all of a sudden music is a high risk activity. And I said that out loud, and they both kind of chuckled because you don't typically think of music as a high risk activity. But so that was today. And then we also received guidance from the Iowa High School Athletic Association and the Girls Athletic Union on how we do fall sports. And so, you know, those, every one of those that comes down the pike is in addition to what, you know, we're already working on. So very challenging, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, this all touches everything within the school system.
It does.
Talk a little bit about what it will look like. You've made some decisions and making some steps forward here in the last few weeks. What will it look like when school opens up here in a few weeks?
Yeah, so we start actually August 17th, so we're down to not a few weeks anymore. We're down to about two, we have a three. We use the terminology scenarios. Our first scenario is going to be our in-person learning scenario with family choice. So early next week, we'll be sending out a detailed letter to families that explains our cleaning protocols, our social distancing protocols, all the things that we're going to do to try to keep kids safe while they're here in the learning environment. And then we're going to ask parents whether they're going to send their kids or not. We're allowing families that choice. And so with that, since we're allowing families choice, we're going to start on a 4-day week. So we're going to go to school Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. We're going to use Wednesdays to serve those families that choose remote learning. And we're also going to use those days to do Wednesdays to do a deep clean of the building. So we'll be able to deep clean midweek, and then at the end of the week, after the kids leave on Fridays, We'll use Wednesdays to, you know, pull kids in that are not engaging or that are, you know, struggling with the learning and things like that. So some more one-on-one instruction. And so, you know, our teachers will be fully engaged on those Wednesdays. I really actually predict that those will be incredibly busy days because they'll have a lot of work they want to get done, both serving those remote learning families and working with kids that, you know, just because of circumstances are you know, struggling with the work that we're trying to do. So we'll start with a four-day week, and that's what we intend to start with. If we find that we don't have a lot of families doing the remote option, we can very quickly shift back to a five-day week, and we feel like that's an easy shift for families to make, as opposed to going the other direction, going from 5 days to 4 days. So that's kind of why we landed on that. And I think that plan is a little bit unique in this area, but we feel like it's the right move for right now, and then once we get the ball rolling here, we'll be able to make some further decisions. Our second scenario is a 50% scenario, so we'll use an A day, B day, and so kids will come, you know, Monday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Friday, with the governor's proclamation about a week and a half ago. We know that those kids need to be in person 50%, so at least 15 hours a week. And so we may need to adjust our start time or our end time of our school day to make sure that we're in compliance with the governor's proclamation on that. But we still intend to keep Wednesdays open if we're in that scenario. And again, and that's to work with kids that are at risk, work with special education kids, work with kids that are just struggling with the learning. And so that, in a nutshell, that's our second scenario. Our third scenario is full remote learning. And, you know, that's, I guess, pretty self-explanatory. Everything will be online, so we'll be working with, you know, primarily core required courses and then giving students choices on electives and things like that. So the good news, I think, is we know more about the virus, and if we have to go full remote, it won't be for 9 weeks. It'll likely be for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and then we'll be back face-to-face. So. So, you know, that's I guess a little bit of good news in all of this.
Sure. Will daily protocols change within the buildings?
Yeah. So we'll do, like I said, a deep clean midweek and at the end of the week, and then in addition to that, we'll do wiping of all high touch surfaces as kids leave the classroom. So you know, when they leave the classroom, the teacher will hand out rags to maybe, you know, half the kids or whoever's in charge of cleanup that day, spray down the surfaces and have the kids wipe them down. And then as they leave, we're going to ask kids to mask up definitely during passing times. And then as they come into their next classroom, then they'll hand sanitize. And obviously kids can hand sanitize as often as they want, but that'll be the requirement, is we're going to clean on the way out and hand sanitize on the way in.
Sure. Will this change busing procedures at all?
Yep. For the time being, we're doing away with our town routes, just to keep numbers down on the buses, which we totally understand is a hardship on families. But we can't run full buses while this is all going on. So country routes only. We're going to ask families to help with transportation to the extent that they can. And then obviously there'll be additional cleaning protocols, masking protocols and things like that, or face covering protocols on the buses as well.
Absolutely. Well, I we're talking to the superintendent here today, but everybody's involved in this process, the building principals, you've got teachers, of course, in the classrooms. Everybody that's involved, right down to the students, are all going to be asked to just be extra vigilant.
Yep, transportation director, I had an hour-long meeting with my transportation director this morning, and we just kind of finishing final touches on the transportation plan. Custodial has been absolutely key. Think about what our food service people have done since the 13th of March when we got shut down in every district. Holy cow, those people have gone above and beyond. So it is every single person in the district, you know, right down to the business office, you know, trying to figure out how we're going to pay all these extra bills and you know, what CARES Act money can be used for and what it can't. So you know, I can't say enough about, as you know, I'm in two districts. I'm in Coon Rapids, Baird as well. And in both districts, you know, people have stepped up, put in time that they're not compensated for, and really, you know, done really, really hard work with a positive attitude. And we feel like we've got a plan that we think is going to work, Jim. We gotta get kids here, and we gotta get going.
Right. Well, and communication is going to be key. You've got to communicate constantly with folks to let them know what the expectations are and how things are.
Right. So. Yeah, so we sent out a letter here. I'm losing track of the days, but we sent out a letter here a couple of weeks ago, a four-page letter with our basic plan. And again, we'll follow that now early next week with another letter that gets into some more detail so that families can make an informed decision whether they're choosing in-person learning or remote. We really feel like we'll have a very large majority choose in-person learning. Just anecdotally, I've been in Audubon a long time, and you know, feel like I know the community pretty well. I have yet to run across a parent that says that says anything other than my kid needs to be in school. And I think kids feel the same way. They hopefully have learned to appreciate school a little bit more than they did prior to this. So. But yeah, the communication piece is key. That's why I appreciate the opportunity to be on the radio with you today. And hopefully, you know, the other thing that's key is we need everybody's grace as we go through this, because this is complicated. The superintendent at Des Moines Public, I think, said it best. He said we're being asked to do two things that are mutually exclusive. One, we're being asked to guarantee the safety of kids, and two, we're being asked to them. Well, if we were going to guarantee their safety, we would leave them at home and everybody would be isolated. And, and then educating them carries some risk in terms of health, and it always has. I mean, we've had the flu in school for forever and ever. So, you know, those two things are mutually exclusive, and it's a difficult balancing act. And so we really need families. We need their input, definitely. We need to know when we could be doing something better, but we also need their patience and their grace as we go through this process.
Absolutely. Well, it's all going to happen here, come together pretty quick. So best of luck. We hope the school this year gets off to a great start. I know even the kids are looking forward to it. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.